From the nation's capital, this is D.C. Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Communications and law enforcement in the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing is our issue today, and I want to make it clear from the very beginning that the discussion applies to all of us within the criminal justice system. To discuss the issues, I've asked two experts on criminal justice communications to join us today. One is Deborah Winger. She is the Director of Undergraduate Journalism, Associate Professor of the Meek School of Journalism at the University of Mississippi. She is at advancethestory.com, and we have Ted Guest. He is the Washington Bureau Chief of the Crime Report, thecrimereport.org. To Deb and to Ted, welcome to D.C. Public Safety.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing, I've read this several times, and I had one of the two co-chairs, Laurie Robinson, who used to be a Deputy Attorney General at the U.S. Department of Justice, on the program previously, and I'll put the connection to the prior program in the show notes. But in essence, I'm reading the report as dealing with communications, a fundamental pillar. And they indeed did call their particular sections that they wanted to draw attention to pillars. And I'm going to read just a couple. Building trust and legitimacy, a guardian mindset rather than a warrior mindset, a culture of transparency and accountability, dealing with social media and a focus on community policing. All of these suggest to me a different way of communicating between law enforcement and the community and the criminal justice system in the community. So that's my understanding of the President's Task Force of 21st Century Policing, that a big focus is on communications. So I wanted to ask you a series of questions about that. They're talking about issues, creating a positive interaction with the police. My question is, with the focus on social media and the focus on communications, do we in the criminal justice system, and to those of us in law enforcement, are we really equipped to have a very sophisticated conversation with the public as to policing or other aspects of the criminal justice system? Ted, did you want to go first?
Yeah, I would say we don't have such a sophisticated system. And by the way, I don't think the criminal justice system is probably much worse than any other government agency or any other entity in the United States. I mean, some specialize in this, but so I don't want to be seen as saying the criminal justice system is worse. One thing we should keep in mind in this conversation, the criminal justice system in this country is very diverse. It has various elements, the basic ones are the police, the courts, corrections agencies. We should keep in mind that there are something like 18,000 police departments
Yes.
in this country. There is not a central authority. So when we're going to have to make generalizations in this broadcast, but we should all keep in mind, and most of our listeners would know this, that there is no central authority telling people what to do. This task force, I thought, had a good report and a lot of good ideas, but it's basically an advisory body of a bunch of experts, and no one really has the authority to implement this on a national scale. An individual police department or part of the justice system could agree or disagree with any of the recommendations. I think the recommendations are basically good, but to answer your question, I don't think on a broad scale we're really equipped right now to implement them.
Deborah, did you want to approach that question?
Yeah, and I want to follow up on something that Ted said about entities in general, whether it's a governmental agency, a law enforcement agency, a brand, a news organization. We are witnessing a major paradigm shift in the way communication happens in general,
mm-hmm.
and the rise of audience power. And, you know, for a law enforcement agency, the audience is anyone that you're serving and protecting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their ability to communicate with you and to engage with you if you do practice social media has never been greater. And it's really changed the dynamic of the relationship for communicators, that we used to be able to simply broadcast, to simply publish, and have very little knowledge about how we were being perceived or whether the information was understood.
Mm-hmm.
And when you use these new technologies effectively, you should be able to communicate in real time with real people. But most of us don't have the infrastructure to make that happen. Even news organizations that, you know, this is their reason for being, right, is to communicate information. They're not always doing as good a job as they should at engaging and interacting with audience.
Well, the process of communications is changing rapidly. It's changing rapidly for mainstream media. It's changing rapidly for organizations that are trying to communicate. So in the middle of all of this whirlwind of change, new technologies, new apps, new social media platforms, podcasting is going through a resurgence. How are we going to expect law enforcement agencies? Ted said it, 18,000 individual law enforcement agencies around the country. There are certain police departments like the Washington, D.C. Police Department, New York City Police Department. They do an extraordinarily good job of communicating with the public. But most law enforcement agencies, and I think most of us within the criminal justice system, do not know how to communicate. So when the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing comes along and says, communication is a huge part of our ability to do a better job of serving the public, I'm sitting there going, whoops, there's a disconnect here.
Yeah, and it depends. When we're talking about communications, we're talking about a wide range of things. Some of the communications are coming from the police department or law enforcement authority to the community, let's say alerting people to some kind of emergency. And I think on that level, we are certainly doing a better job than we used to. Of course, a lot of people in the public may not have the technology, either may not own it or may not have it available and may not be hearing that message. But that's just one very elemental level of communications. Let's remember why we're having this discussion about the 21st Century Policing Task Force. Why did this happen? It happened essentially because there was a big episode that most of our, I think all of our listeners should know about last summer in Ferguson, Missouri, in which the shooting of a unarmed black man got a huge amount of publicity and generated a huge amount of controversy. And a lot of the controversy, I think, as far as communications was concerned, had to do with the police departments not talking about this incident after it first happened. So, again, that kind of thing, I'm not sure that the 21st Century Policing Task Force really made a firm recommendation on. That's the kind of thing that I would like to see, you know, among many other things about, you know, when should a police department or law enforcement agency be talking about an incident that is controversial. But so, again, there are many times different kinds of communications. And there are also, not to forget the obvious here, just basic communications about crimes in your community. And one thing that has changed a lot in recent years is a much better communication to people that there used to be, you know, the thing called a police blotter that used to be published and still is published in a lot of local newspapers. But now we have that available via social media. So just, again, that's a very basic thing. When did a crime occur in your community? Just so you know that information. But in this conversation, we should take into account that there are many different levels of communication and many different kinds of incidents we should be discussing. Is this not one central thing communicating everything?
Well, that's my point. My point, Deborah, in all of this is that the average police commander in the average police department in this country reading the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing, with its emphasis on social media, with its emphasis on communication, with its emphasis on building trust, with its emphasis on building legitimacy, he or she is sitting there going, oh, my heavens, what in the name of heavens am I supposed to do with this information? What communication platform should I engage in? What builds legitimacy? What builds trust? I think it's very confusing to them, and unless somebody comes out and provides some sort of firm guidance in terms of what we mean by communications, it's all going to go by the wayside. Some have suggested that to me. Do you have that sense, Deb?
Well, you know, one of the things to follow up on what Ted was saying with Ferguson is I would say that any police or law enforcement organization needs to understand a couple of things, that control of information we no longer control as much information as we have in the past. So to think that if we don't say anything about the incident, that someone else isn't going to say anything about the incident, if anybody still believes that, they should quickly, disabuse themselves of that perception. But what I would say that any organization that's going to be involved in communicating information to the public, that every organization needs to have a crisis communications plan, and they need to be prepared for information about an incident involving law enforcement to not go their way, and to know how to respond to that, and to be prepared to monitor Twitter to see what topics are trending relating to this issue, to be able to quickly, leverage the trust that they've built prior to the crisis occurring, to have people who are going to already be followers retweeting the correct information if wrong information is getting out there.
Go ahead. No, please.
I was just going to say all of this needs to happen on the front end before the first crisis occurs. You can't just, try to tackle this when there's an incident.
Well, law enforcement's no different from the average organization. They all believe it's not going to happen to them. I'm not quite sure that Ferguson, the day before the incident, ever dreamed that they would be up against national and international media and be up against hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of social media messages. That takes organization. That takes pre-planning. That takes an awful lot of preparation to handle something like that. The average police department's not going to deal with that. Heck, the average company is not going to deal with that. So my guess is that there's a reluctance to invest that level of time and trouble and energy into something that most people feel that they're not going to face until it actually happens.
I think you're correct. And I think that you could look at it as this incredibly time-intensive, resource-intensive effort. But I think had they had, we weren't there in the middle of it with the law enforcement officials, but I think you're probably right that they never did have a discussion about how are we going to handle the communication around any type of crisis. And I think that's where it has to start, that, you at least have to, you might throw the plan out, but you have to dedicate some time to at least discussing on a very fundamental, basic level, who are we going to pull in to manage the Twitter account or the Facebook account? I mean, looking at the report that we're referencing today, it looked like a majority of law enforcement have either a Facebook or a Twitter account. So we know we can narrow it to that, but who's going to be there monitoring what's being said and responding with accurate information in a professional, manner, and again, leveraging the trust that you hopefully have built through your efforts in social media prior to this event occurring?
Well, that's my fear. Ted, go ahead.
Well, one thing, again, to go back to my 18,000 police departments statement, we should keep in mind here, and some of our listeners may not know this, but most of these police departments in the country are very small. They're, I think Ferguson actually was one of the bigger ones, which may surprise people, that had like 50 officers. I mean, sometimes we think of New York City has 32,000 officers, but they are way on the extreme. Many departments in this country, I think even as many as a third or more, have 10 or fewer officers. So these people, no matter how well-meaning they are really probably don't have the time and expertise to develop these kinds of policies, which is one reason why possibly this policing task force report is good, because it will help focus people's attention on some of these issues. But even having focused people's attention on them, you have to think about these small police departments of 10 people. Are they just going to have this as high on their agenda? They probably have it higher on their agenda now than they did a couple of years ago, but we should keep that in mind.
Well, let's go back. I do want to refer focus away a little bit from crisis communications to day-to-day communications again. They're talking about creating a positive interaction with law enforcement, levels of trust, diversity, recruitment of regular forums and meetings, recognizing the voices of youth, interactive distance learning, public engagement. All of this singles a digital platform of communicating. Before the show, I said either an individual police officer can go to a community meeting and discuss their plans with 30 people, or you can have individual police officers taught how to better interact with individual people that they encounter in the community, or you can go to a digital strategy and talk to thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands at the same time. So it seems to me clearly that a digital strategy would, and a social media strategy, which the report calls for, would be a productive way of interacting with citizens, as long as citizens had a way of answering and responding in the polls, so police officers or anybody in the criminal justice system could learn from that interaction. So it seems to me a digital strategy is vital, right or wrong.
Yes, I agree.
It certainly is. But again, to go back to what I said before, and I'm pretty sure Deb will agree with me, you have to know what the message is. What are you trying to get across? I mean, we can have all of the techniques in hand, which a lot of departments do and a lot don't, but I mean, again, we don't have time on this show to go into all the controversies about policing, but there's a big dispute right now going on around the country about what should police be doing about minor offenses. You know, there's argument is they should be very aggressive about dealing with every kind of minor offense, because the person involved could end up involved in major offenses. And then there's another group of people who say, no, we should be emphasizing violent crime, serious crime. Police shouldn't be dealing with people smoking pot on the street, that kind of thing. Well, a police department has to have its own policy. I'm just using that as an example. Decided so that it can communicate that kind of thing to the public. We assume the police want to communicate more than just what I described earlier as the police blotter. There was a burglary yesterday on Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean, that's one thing to communicate, but to communicate policy issues, you got to have the message straight as well as the actual technique of doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to reintroduce our guest, Deborah Winger. She is the Director of Undergraduate Journalism, Associate Professor Meek School of Journalism, University of Mississippi. She has her own site, advancingthestory.com, which I find fascinating, and I've gone to several times since we did the last radio show. And we have Ted Guest. He is the Washington Bureau Chief of the Crime Report, thecrimereport.org. To me, unquestionably, the best daily summation of crime news throughout the country. So let me swing it back, because if we got into a discussion of what police should do, we'd be here for the rest of the show. But Ted is right. I've read a variety of reports, a variety of newspaper articles through Ted's service, thecrimereport.org. And there is massive disagreement all throughout the United States in terms of what we want to do operationally in terms of law enforcement. So if we don't have a core message, if we don't have a core national understanding as to what it is that we want to do within law enforcement, what in the name of heavens are we going to be communicating to citizens?
Well, and I think that is exactly what any agency, regardless of size, needs to figure out. Is what is the purpose of our social media account? And to be realistic about the resources. So I think a mistake that a lot of organizations have made is to try to put all the social media control in one person's hands. And you know, you certainly understand the rationale behind that is because you want a very controlled message. But if it's only in one person's hands and they're on vacation, you're out of luck. So, the social media works best when you have lots of people in your organization allowed to post to social media, that there's a clear understanding throughout the organization of what is the type of content that we're going to share and how are we going to interact. And again, that takes training, that takes time. But if the end result is better policing, a safer community, then it certainly seems worth it. But you know, you, at the very beginning, you have to decide what resources do we have that we can put toward this effort, and what is our goal? Is our goal to reach youth? Well, then we're going to have a very different strategy than is our goal to communicate crisis. So, you know, for me, part of it is, again, having that first conversation and making sure that everyone in your organization, law enforcement or otherwise, understands what you're trying to do with your social media accounts.
And that's part of the divergence and complexity of social media, because with every audience, you may have an entirely different strategy. There are some people out there that use Instagram as an example to communicate with younger audiences, and the possibility of using Facebook to deal with older audiences. And yet Pew came out a little while ago with a report that basically said, nope, the young folks are still on Facebook, and there hasn't been a huge shift to Instagram. So, Deb, you and I may know this because we're part of the social media community, and Ted is part of this discussion, but how is the average chief of police in the average city going to figure all this out? A new form of communicating with the larger community, if it's indeed podcast or television shows or Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, where does he or she go to for guidance to learn all this stuff and to implement it in a meaningful way in the community, and figuring out what measurement tools are available so he or she can get the feedback that they're looking for from the larger community? I mean, that is an unbelievably difficult task for the average law enforcement agency or anybody within the criminal justice system.
Yeah, I think I would say two things right off the top of my head. Is one is, don't get attracted to the shiny. So just because Meerkat and Periscope are now available for live streaming to Twitter doesn't mean you have to jump on it. I mean, yes, experiment with tools, and somebody in your organization should be that person who's geeked out by, you know, communication technology and is always experimenting. But I would actually consider, you know, trying to, hopefully you have a relationship with local media, and leveraging their knowledge about the community and the social media tools that are used most commonly in the community, you know, meeting with the webmaster, the digital producer of the local television station, or someone at the newspaper to say, how are you reaching audience? I mean, learn from what other people are doing versus reinventing the wheel, especially if you don't have the resources to send, you know, your PIO to training, or you know, you don't have a staff of people in your communications office. I would say try to learn from what others who are already successful on these platforms, what they're doing well, and, you know, try to translate that to what you're trying to accomplish as a law enforcement agency.
Ted, can the average chief of police go to the average newspaper and television station and say, help me engage in a social media platform?
Well, yeah, they can certainly go. I mean, I think every news media organization in this country wants to have relationships with the police department. They might not always be pleasant and positive relations, but a lot of them are. We deal with police departments daily. I'm talking about the news media in mm-hmm. general, and I'm sure that news directors and editors would talk to, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the police chief, but at least if the department has a public information officer, or as Deb said, someone designated to be the main social media person. But also, again, we've been talking to the community. A lot of the bigger police departments do periodic surveys of the community, whether it's an informal thing via meetings we discussed, or some kind of an actual survey, not only what do you think about our policy on this or that, but they could include in that, how do you get information? Which social media do you use? Is there any information you think you should be getting, you're not getting? Again, I realize, because we've been talking about a small police department is not going to be able to do a huge Gallup-type survey, but I think police department should be able to do that in some way. Actually, as social media makes it in some ways easier, when we're talking about email, you know, figuring out how to do a survey. Again, not that you would necessarily be guided by everything the public says, but at least it would give you a much better idea how people are getting information and what information they want.
And there are free tools out there like SurveyMonkey. They can allow them to do that. I'm going to throw out another suggestion, partnering with colleges, partnering with the communications and journalism classes within colleges and sit down with them and to say, all right, how do I communicate? How do I get feedback? How do I quantify that feedback? How do I make it a meaningful exchange? I think journalism is changing. And they're just as challenged as everybody else, the journalism schools. But at least they're examining this issue, and they would be wonderful places to assist local law enforcement agencies. Agreed or disagree?
Absolutely. I mean, certainly here in, you know, beautiful Oxford, Mississippi, where the University of Mississippi is located, our local police department is very active on Twitter, for example. If someone there came to us and said, hey, we want a crash course in better engagement on Twitter, I know there'd be several faculty who'd be delighted to do something like this. Mm-hmm. So that's an excellent idea as well.
So I'm not suggesting replacing community meetings. Community meetings are essential. But again, I go back to the idea that you can go and sit and talk with 100, or at the same time, you can go via social media and talk with thousands. I'm suggesting the possibility of doing both. But if you're going to be doing it digitally, it has to be, Deb, as you suggested a little while ago, not just the public affairs person. The chief, the deputy chief, the commander at various districts need to be able to do this as well, correct? I mean, they need to have this constant check-in with the community. How are we doing? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? Where are we messing up? That has to be across the board throughout the agency. And there has to be, I think, a larger sense, not I think, but what others have said, a larger sense of more communication with media. Because media is in the position of being the conduit to get the word out beyond social media, correct?
Absolutely. And something that you were talking about, you know, not giving up on the community meeting, but why not make the impact exponential? Go to the community meeting, come up with a hashtag for the meeting, and encourage everybody in the room to tweet about what they're hearing at the community meeting. Then you've had the one-on-one interaction, but then you've spread it beyond to those who can't be included in that particular meeting. They couldn't get there for whatever reason. But figuring out how to leverage the things that you're already doing and expand them through the use of social media. And part of that is to train more than one person in the department on how to do this properly and effectively.
Ted, we have 1 minute left. In terms of working with the media, being more open and approachable to and more cooperative with the media, we in the criminal justice system, we have a hard time doing that, do we not?
I don't know. It's hard to generalize. I mean, some agencies do it very well. Other agencies don't do it very well. But a lot of agencies, unfortunately, perceive that the media is interested only in so-called bad news about your agency. And in those cases, it can be pretty hard to communicate.
The question to either one of you, can we partner with the media then? Can the criminal justice system partner with the media? In terms of communicating with the public and getting reaction from the public? Is that permissible?
I think the media and law enforcement need each other, and I think most smart folks in both areas understand that. And I think that the more that they can do to build relationships, and whether that's, you know, training for each other or simply sharing best practices, The better off the community is and each of the individual entities.
Well, it's a fascinating conversation with both of you. I appreciate so much both of you being before the microphones today, because this is a very complexing issue, the proper communicating between law enforcement and criminal justice and the public. It is a very complex issue. So thank you very much for being at the microphones today. Ladies and gentlemen, we had Deborah Winger. She is director of the undergraduate journalism, associate professor at the Meek School of Journalism, University of Mississippi. She has her own blog, extraordinarily interesting, advancingthestory.com. Ted Guest is the Washington Bureau Chief of the Crime Report and somebody who's been around journalism for decades, somebody who I really trust. TheCrimeReport.org. Ladies and gentlemen, this is D.C. Public Safety. We appreciate your comments. We even appreciate your criticisms, and we want everybody to have themselves a very pleasant day.